This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio, and coming up in just a few minutes, we're going to talk about the Affordable Care Act. It goes into effect, or at least the exchange and open enrollment goes into effect next month, in fact, next week. So if you have questions about the Affordable Care Act, you can get in line now at 877-962-9862. Call us with questions about the Affordable Care Act. We're going to take care of that in the next segment, 877-962-9862. But first, we want to talk about something happening in our state's banking industry. A federal judge found that Bank of America discriminated against more than 1,000 African-American job applicants in two separate periods over the past 20 years. Monday, Judge Linda Chapman ordered the bank to pay $2.2 million to the job applicants who were turned down for positions in Charlotte. Here to tell us about it is Charlotte Observer banking and finance reporter Andrew Dunn. Andrew, welcome.
Hey, thanks so much for having me on the show.
Good to have you here. Tell us about this ruling. What happened?
Well, this case is really, as you said, has been going on for about 20 years now. This all began way back in 1993 in what was a somewhat random inspection of the bank. The U.S. Department of Labor has a division that oversees federal contractors to make sure they're following employment guidelines, which includes that they don't discriminate in their hiring. Now, Bank of America actually counts as a federal contractor because they hold some federal deposits, and back then they issued savings bonds. So, the regional director of the department decided that it was Bank of America's turn. Well, it was actually called Nations Bank at the time for a compliance check. They ran their statistical models over the bank's hiring in Charlotte for that year and determined that some discrimination had gone on. And, the bank obviously disagreed with that, and the whole legal challenge has gone on from there.
Well, and it's, as you say, it's over 20 years. And interestingly enough, as you point out, it really didn't come as the result of a complaint. This just came up as a kind of a routine check statistical analysis. So what is the finding now? What was the actual finding and what's the penalty?
Well, so the Labor Department determines they came up with a little bit more than 1,000. They have an exact number. It was something like 1,034 African-American job applicants. Had been turned down for jobs. They were qualified applicants, and they were turned down in favor of white applicants. And when you look through the court documents, there's been years and years of wrangling over how much the bank was actually going to have to pay. So what this $2.2 million that the bank is going to pay to these applicants actually represents is back wages, lost wages, and interest on that money from the job that they should have had back at the time.
But it doesn't really that doesn't quite add up. I mean, some of the applicants are going to get, what, $900, maybe $1,000 or so? How does it work out in terms of the payout? How does that work out?
Yeah, I mean, as it turns out, so there's two separate pools of money here. There's about 1,000 people that are going to split up about $900,000, and then another 100 people who were denied a job between 2002 and 2005, who will split about $1.2 million, and that's about $10,775 on average. Now, it's really complicated how the Labor Department and the administrative judge came to this decision, and that's actually the bank has spent a good deal of time fighting with the Labor Department over that amount. But what it comes down to ultimately is what the present value of wages would be from back then, and whether they would still be with the bank at this point. And there's just a lot of different factors that have gone into it.
What kind of positions were they applying for?
Now, these were primarily, or actually exclusively, entry level positions. That's your bank tellers and lower level clerical and administrative positions here in Charlotte.
What does Bank of America say about all this?
Now, Bank of America really hasn't said much publicly lately outside of their court filings, and the court filings have actually spent a lot more time talking about whether the Labor Department actually had the legal standing to make this review and file this case in the first place. Outside of that, the bank has really just said that they strive for an open and inclusive workplace, and they do not discriminate in their hiring.
It's kind of interesting because this is not an EEOC case. That's a separate commission. It's a whole. It does not fall under the Labor Department, or does it? EEOC? Is that part of the Labor Department or its own commission? I forgive my ignorance.
No, you're correct. This is not an EEOC complaint. Generally, EEOC cases will tend to spring up when somebody actually comes to them with a complaint. this has really come solely based on statistical models. There's really not a smoking gun document or a whistleblower here.
All right. And will there be an appeal?
You know, it's kind of hard to say. You know, Bank of America has really spent the last 2-3 years settling legal issues left and right. Now, you know, to be fair, this $2.2 million really doesn't constitute a huge, wouldn't be a huge hit to their earnings. It's more a hit to their reputation at a time where they've been really slammed on all sides on things like this. So they definitely do have the chance to appeal. They have until the end of next week to decide whether to file what's called an exception to the ruling. And then it would go up to a review board. And then after that, there may be some possibility to take it further in the federal court system. So I imagine we're going to find out pretty soon on whether the bank will decide to go that route.
And this discrimination apparently occurred at two discrete periods, once in the 90s and once in the aughts, right?
That is correct. That's what this specific case deals with. Now, they really haven't tried to say that the discrimination only occurred here. And it's, you know, the reason why those two time periods are coming up in this case is really because of the nature of the review. You know, this review started in 1993, and so the discrimination findings only deal with that year. Now, the 02 to 05 time frame, that was added on later, actually based on findings the Labor Department came out with during the course of, you know, litigating this case, these documents and interviews that were filed while the case was going on.
Here's something that can go racial discrimination that can take to make its way through the courts over a 20-year period and yield only a $2 million fine. It does seem that if racial discrimination was a problem, the process itself and the penalties might not discourage anybody from discriminating.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. I mean, this case is actually extremely unusual. I did a follow-up story in today's paper where I talked more with the Labor Department on, you know, how we got to this point. And they told me that 99.8% of their cases are actually settled way before it ends up in a courtroom. So, you know, generally, this $2.2 million settlement would come after just a few months. It'd be right off the bat. It would be over with pretty quickly. It's, you know, I couldn't find a single instance where another case against a different company has lasted nearly this long.
And this is not the first time Bank of America has had to settle a discrimination suit. Two others involving black financial advisors at Merrill Lynch, one involving women at the Bank of America and Merrill Lynch. Tell us about those.
Yeah, that's true. There's actually been two other discrimination cases that have been settled in just the past month. Now, the first one was a $160 million payment to a group of African-American financial advisors at Merrill Lynch who said they weren't given the same opportunity to succeed in the company as white financial advisors. You know, and that was from, you know, which assignments they were given, what kind of support they were given from their supervisors, stuff like that. Now, that actually all happened. The allegations were all from before Bank of America bought Merrill Lynch back in 2009, but obviously it fell on Bank of America to settle at this point. You know, the second case was kind of similar, involving a group of women who worked at both Bank of America and Merrill Lynch's brokerage businesses, and they settled for about $39 million.
Bank of America also in court because of a series of lawsuits against Countrywide, which was the mortgage company that it took over. But while it was Countrywide, and even after Bank of America had it under its control, was accused of and finally, in a sense, convicted of racial discrimination in its loan policies. That as well. Tell us about that.
Yes, that was a case that came out, I guess, a year or so ago, and that really stems from mortgage brokers who were making loans. What really the government said is that these mortgage brokers were steering black and Hispanic potential home buyers into higher priced loans. You know, these would carry higher interest rates, so these home buyers or homeowners would be paying a lot more over the course of their loan. You know, they found or they alleged that Countrywide was putting people of equal credit scores, equal financial profiles, that sort of thing, you know, into two different types of mortgage loans based on their race.
We're talking about, when we talk about financial services, this is wealth building. This is your chance to get a piece of the rock, own a house, invest so that you have something to retire on. This is pretty important stuff where you add Merrill Lynch, Countrywide, Bank of America, and then let's add Wachovia, which faced discrimination charges in the early 2000s, right? That's another case.
That's right. That was actually a very similar Labor Department case to the Bank of America case. Now, this one didn't end up going to court to battle out over a course of a period of years. Wachovia ended up back in 2004 settling for 5.5 million claims that they discriminated against female employees. And that wasn't in hiring, that was in pay. So that was, you know, at the time, current and former female employees.
So is this evidence that discrimination is commonplace in the banking industry and in the financial industry in general?
You know, it's really hard to say. You know, these Labor Department cases are actually pretty common across all industries. So it's definitely not just banking. You'll see, you know, manufacturing, shipping, all sorts of different industries are coming up in these cases. And the big banks really do spend a lot of time talking about having a diverse workplace and having programs set up to promote that. It is kind of an interesting note, though, and this came out in some of the court filings with this case, that back in 1993, when the Labor Department was deciding which company they wanted to review, the regional director said banks were, quote, notorious for having the worst record of affirmative action, and that's why they ended up deciding to review Nations Bank, which is now Bank of America. But so I guess at that time, the Labor Department thought that was the case, but at this point, it's hard to say definitively.
Andrew, thank you so much for talking with us.
Hey, thanks so much.
Andrew Dunn is the banking and finance reporter for the Charlotte Observer. Just ahead, we're going to get an explanation of the Affordable Care Act, what it's going to mean here in North Carolina. You may have some questions. We will take them on air at 877-962-9862. If you want to talk about what it means to you, give us a call on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.